This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 5th, 2010, Episode 5, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Happy Zenyatta Day to you, too. This is, you know how yesterday was my day, the food day, talking about eating and food and all that?
Uh-huh.
Well, today is Jamie's day. She has followed Zenyatta since I think Zenyatta's birth. And you are so excited. This is like heaven for you today to be actually on a radio show talking about Zenyatta.
You know, every other radio show that I've done has been nothing to do with horses at all. So if I had mentioned the word Zenyatta, they probably would have thought I was talking about the Police album, because of course that's what Zenyatta is named after. So the music end is gone, the horse end is here, and I'm so excited about tomorrow. We're having a Breeders' Cup party here at the house, Glenn and Jennifer, and super excited to get all the girls together. We're all going to get here and around 1 o'clock, and post time is 3:15 our time, 6:15 your time. So the race tomorrow, Zenyatta going 20-0, hopefully, you know, by the end of the race there, and I'm super excited.
Well, we're going to be talking all about Zenyatta. We have some fantastic guests, which we'll tell you about in 1 minute. But let's get the housekeeping out of the way really quickly this morning. One thing I found out is the BlackBerry does not work with that solution that we came up with for the iPhone and some of the Android phones. So you can listen on your iPhone. You can listen on some of the Android phones. And you just open up your browser. You go to horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I. Another thing we discovered, and I wanted to throw this out real quick, if you have unlimited phone service at home on your landline, or if you're one of those people that just have unlimited phone now on your unlimited minutes rather on your mobile phones, you can call our number at 347-637-3238, and you can just listen to the show on your phone. So it's another way that you can listen to our show. And all you do, and Jennifer wanted me to remind everybody, when you call in and you want to talk to us, if you want to talk to Jamie and I or one of our guests, You just call 347-637-3238, and you follow the prompts, and the little lady will come on and say, if you want to talk to the host, press 1. Well, that's at the point you press 1, and you'll be put into the host queue. If you don't press 1, then you can just sit back and listen to the show on your phone, put it on speaker, and listen away. So that's another way that you can listen. We're just discovering all kinds of things here in what I'm calling beta week of Horses in the Morning. So I figure, you know, Google can have beta for about 5 years. We can have beta for 1 week.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds fair.
And speaking of calling, today's prize, I'm very excited to announce, is a pair of Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. He's actually giving away 2 of his horse treats, and they're called Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, for those that aren't familiar with them. They are the best horse treats out there. Your horse will absolutely love them. And they actually are hanging balls. They hang from a string, and they're a big ball of horse treats. And it's Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. You can find more about them at uncle-jimmys.com. And we thank Uncle Jimmy for that. And, of course, we have our monthly prizes that every caller is registered to win.
Yeah, as soon as you call and talk to us, we're going to put your name in the hat for a $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, their website, equestriancollections.com, so you can start your shopping early. And you're also going to get your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins. Another winner will, up to $600, thanks to worldequestrianbrands.com.
All right, I put a little something together for you to get everybody in the mood. So sit back with your coffee, and you're going to have goosebumps by the time this is done.
Oh, yeah.
And Zenyatta is closing nicely in the center of the track. Carmel Coffee has the lead, but you better take a look at Zen Yada to run by and do it nicely. Carmel Coffee left in second, Zen Yada. Down is four from the front, and they run to the top of the stretch. Quite a Stormcat is the leader. Zen Yada runs up outside of her and draws within a length of the lead. Down is third. Caressive didn't go on, and Zen Yada is making a mockery of this field. Zen Yada, David Flores has not asked her to run a step, and she's three in front. Quite a Stormcat and down. Here's a future superstar, Zen Yada.
Down the center, Romance's Diane, and now Zenyatta's lengthening her stride, and Zenyatta closing big grounds on the outside now, and Zenyatta just an amazing coverage of ground. She just covers so much ground with those bounding strides.
Four of them across the track, and it is Zenyatta to the outside with Brownie Points. Ginger Punch can't keep up. It's Zenyatta and Brownie Points as they drive for the wire, but Zenyatta under Mike Smith is going to pull away, and Zenyatta goes to four in a row with a flawless performance, winning the Apple Blossom by four.
Santa Teresita has it, but for how long? Here comes Zenyatta. She has circled up past the field and runs to the final furlong, and Zenyatta takes over the lead. Santa Teresita tries to run with her, but Zenyatta is now two lengths in front. How do you describe perfection? Why try? Let's just watch her run. This is Zenyatta. Zenyatta has taken over the lead. Silver Z is running the race of her life. Tough Tips and Sits is next. Silver Swallow to the outside is two from Zenyatta. Zenyatta inside the final 16. Tough Tips and Sits to the outside. Zenyatta reaches. Tough Tips and Sits. Zenyatta.
Model is kicked away. Zenyatta now sees her out in front and comes with her ears cocked running up alongside of her. And Zenyatta just making it look all too easy. This is simply poetry in motion. Ears cocked, she canters home. Santa Teresita, and now Zenyatta straightens up, and here comes Zenyatta yet again, just a tap on the shoulder. Ears pricked, she's just looking at the other three and striding away effortlessly. 8 for 8 for Zenyatta, a champion's effort. She will. Music notes running on gangly, Coco Beach down at the rail. Zenyatta's going to come home to score. Undoubtedly now, a living legend, Zenyatta 9 for 9.
All I can say is Wow has lost the lead to Zenyatta, who levels out and runs away. Levels out, runs away, and makes it a perfect 10 for 10. Zenyatta!
Oh, my gosh, I have total goosebumps after listening to that. And
me too.
Actually, oh, my gosh, it gets me every time. And Zenyatta, how do you describe perfection? Well, believe it or not, that's only her first 10 races. It just continues to get more exciting, and we're going to play the second 10 races coming up before we talk to a very, very special guest. But, Jennifer, why don't you tell us, what kind of Zenyatta day are we going to have?
Gangbusters Zenyatta day, I would say. to start things off in the morning, we're going to talk with former jockey Frankie Lovato, who happens to be one of a real good acquaintance of Zenyatta's jockey, Mike Smith. And he's going to chat with us a little bit about what it's like to ride the horse in the race.
Oh,
and
wow.
How it is to deal with that kind of pressure when you're a jockey. And also we're going to be catching up with Lisa at the Chronicle of the Horse, and I'm sure she's going to have some Zenyatta opinions to chime in. I'm really excited to hear what's going on over there. And also we're going to be speaking with former jockey Donna Barton Brothers, who now covers horse racing for NBC and TVG. So you see her on the tube a lot. And she also wrapped up the coverage for Weg Forest down here in Kentucky, which is really awesome because she is a great horsewoman in her own right. And she's going to be stopping by to give us her take on Zenyatta as well as the other Breeders' Cup races. And last but not least, Zenyatta's exercise rider. This is going to be in the first person. We're going to get to hear from Steve Willard, who has been Zenyatta's regular exercise rider since she came to John Sheriff's barn. And I'm really psyched to hear what it's like to be on Zenyatta's back every day.
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, for those of you who may not follow horse racing like a lot of us, I mean, obviously Glenn and Jennifer live in Lexington, Kentucky. They are around it all the time. I used to be an exercise rider at Keeneland when I lived in Kentucky, and have just absolutely followed this horse for a couple years now. And just for those of you who don't know, we're going to give you just a brief history of Zenyatta and kind of tell you a little bit about her and why she is so special. Obviously, Zenyatta is a mare. She was foaled on April Fool's Day in 2004, born in Kentucky. She is currently, now this is what's amazing about Zenyatta, she is undefeated. She is 19-0, and she's going to try to make history this weekend as she attempts to go 20-0 in the Breeders' Cup. Now, she's already won.
I'm curious what percentage of racehorses, and I bet you it's really tiny, can go through a race career in two full seasons with a lot of starts like she's had and stay undefeated. I bet you that's a pretty small percentage.
It's tiny, actually. And if you go to Wikipedia, they'll give you a name of all of them. And you might have heard of three or four, but the rest of them were back in, like, the 1800s. So this is not a normal thing. And she's actually the winningest female horse to go undefeated at 19-0. She holds the record for a female horse. So she's pretty special. She was bought as a yearling by the music mogul Jerry Moss and his wife Ann. She sold... Now, $60,000 for a horse sounds expensive, but when you're selling at the Keeneland September sales, $60,000
is pretty
actually
cheap.
It's pretty humble, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to put it in perspective, Jerry and Ann Moss paid $60,000. Guess how much she's won?
I don't know the current amount, actually.
She's won over $6 million.
Oh, my gosh. That's just in winning.
That's in winnings. That's not in, you know, anything, any other endorsements or any, I mean, her breeding. Can you imagine how much her first baby's going to go for? But the reason she's so exciting to watch, and you probably heard it in that clip, is she is always in the back. She starts at the race in the back of the pack and just looks like she's cantering around. As she's coming around the home stretch, Glenn and Jennifer, you've seen it. She turns it on.
If I was her owner, I would have had 19 heart attacks by now. She stays like to the last quarter pole, and it's just amazing. And there was a couple of those races, if you watch the videos, where she just won by a nose. But most of them she won, you know, by several lengths. But a couple of those, I would have had a heart attack. I couldn't do it. I just wouldn't have been able to do it.
Oh, no way. Ann Moss said this, May said this, I believe it was on the 60 Minutes interview, that the reason she doesn't blow it out is because she doesn't want to break the other horse's hearts. But that she, and then the jockey Mike Smith has said that we've not even seen how fast she can run. So maybe we'll see it on Saturday. Her trainer is John Sheriffs, and she's ridden by Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith. He rode her for 16 of 19 starts. And obviously named after Zenyatta Mondatta, the Police album. And obviously that's because Jerry Moss signed the Police to his A&M record company. So she's 17-2 hands tall. She's 1,200 pounds.
She's
her
a big
sire
girl.
Is 17-2. I mean,
yeah.
That's huge for a racehorse.
You see her stride. When you take a look at the videos of her racing the other horses, her stride is so long. And she's not... You know, I'm going to probably get emails now. I personally don't think she's the most graceful horse when she runs. She just looks like a big lumbering horse, but yet the speed when she turns it on. Jennifer made an interesting observation. We'll have to talk to Frankie about. We'll get him on here in a minute. Is it appears when you watch the videos that it when she changes lead, when she comes around the outside, which is usually where she ends up, she comes around the outside to the final stretch. She changes to the outside lead is when she kicks it in. So I have to ask Frankie if he noticed that as well. Yeah, amazing. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. She does. No, it's true. She does that fine lead change, and then boom, it's over. I mean, the cool thing is about her, and this is what I like about John Sheriffs and the owners and the trainers that are involved with her, because they didn't race her until she was almost four. So all these wins have come. She started in November of her three-year-old season, and I think that that is a statement to them, you know, not wanting to rush her because, you know, in May is the Kentucky Derby. They didn't even try to get her ready for the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, because as it's such a big horse, it was going to take her a lot longer to develop. And you know what? So many people push horses younger in their younger career, and they break down. Zenyatta wasn't raced until November of her three-year-old year, and obviously that's worked out pretty well. She was actually the runner-up in the voting for the Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year. She was beaten by Serena Williams. Okay, that's how awesome Zenyatta is. And that was last year. Let's see, she's $6,404,580, Glenn. That's how much she earned.
Wow.
So I think we need to talk to her people. We're going to talk to her rider, Steve Willard. We're going to talk to Frankie Lovato. And is he on the phone, Glenn?
Yeah, he is. Let's introduce Frankie. Frankie Lovato, Jr. He actually was nice enough to call in and say hi on Monday, but he has some statistics, too. He's ridden 15,603 races. He's won 1,600 of them. In totality, the horses Frankie rode have earned $41 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, Frankie. Are you there?
I'm here. I sound rich.
I know. Isn't your purse 10% of the winnings?
Actually, you know, that's such a misconception. Those are the earnings that the horses that I have ridden earned. So,
While you were riding them, necessarily.
No. Those are me riding them. That's from finishing first through fifth, all the earnings accumulated from the horses. So those are, the owners are the ones that made that money. The jockey's percentage is 10% for winning. And then as they go down the line for second, third, fourth, in fact, fifth places, they get a flat jockey fee. If you finish second or third, you get a 5% of what the owner's share is. But so there's a misconception on what the jockey actually makes from what their earnings are. So,
right.
So I'm not rich.
Well, Frank, you told me that you know Mike Smith, and we wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about the jockey that's going to be on board tomorrow. So tell us now. A lot of us know Mike from the Jockeys series that was on two years on the Animal Planet.
Yes.
And we got to know Mike and his girlfriend and all of that and all the drama and all that stuff. Tell us about Mike as a jockey and a rider and a little bit about him.
Mike is a great guy. I've known him for, 20 years. There was a point, I laugh when I say this, but mention this, but he used to call me Mr. Lovato when he was getting started, and I'd already had my career as well on its way, and the joke now is I call him Mr. Smith because he's blown my doors off in his career and making it to the Hall of Fame and Kentucky Derby winner, multiple winner of Breeders' Cup races through the years. So, but he's a credit to the industry. He's a well-mannered, very clean-cut, a guy that shows up to work every day, very dedicated in his job and his health, his fitness, and it's just a credit to the industry.
The impression I got on the show was that he's a very thoughtful guy, too.
You know, he's quiet, he's to himself, but he does care. I mean, he absolutely cares about a lot of things, but he's kind of very private, though. So he's not one to on certain issues that jockeys deal with in racing. He's someone that would take a step back rather than a step forward and follow someone else's lead. But he's a good guy. He's just kind of to himself.
Now tell us, Frankie, what it's like. You've had the big races. You've ridden in the big races, and you've ridden, I'm sure. Well, have you ridden that special horse, that horse that, you know, was your once-in-a-lifetime horse?
I've never had any – well, never. Most jockeys have never had anything like Zenyatta. But,
right,
But in comparison, I was thinking about when I was listening to the show and you and Jamie were talking about how Zenyatta gives you that heart attack. You know, you just – the uncertainty. She doesn't kick into gear till like, the last moment. And I used to ride a horse like that I can relate to, that even as a jockey or being the passenger, that you don't know if you're going to get there until that final moment. And that's you can count on Zenyatta because she's 19 for 19, but still, as the jockey, I'm sure even there's times Mike says, "Man, am I going to get it done this time?" So,
I would imagine he has some extra gray hair because of that horse.
Yeah, and on top of feeling what's underneath you, and there's a lot of power there. And you know that you can pretty much count on it's going to be there. But you also have to worry about the traffic and the way the race is going to unfold. And she's a big mare. She's not going to be able to accelerate. If there's a small opening he needs to go for, that she may not be able to get through it fast enough. So as a jockey, I mean, those are the things that really kind of give you gray hair. And if you need that.
He's pretty confident with her, too. He takes her wide most of the time. I mean, wide. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the final turn. And she doesn't seem to like to be bunched up a lot with other horses. That's the impression I get.
Well, too, as a jockey, when you make a run like that and you cannot afford, she's a big mare. If she gets stopped or blocked to get her started again, it would be tough. So once she's rolling like a freight train, it's best if you have an option to try to go inside or out, you generally would take that outside route. You know, that's not so much a confident thing. It's just so much. It's more of just trying not to try to alleviate any possible traffic
pull her
situation.
Up. Yeah.
You know. So yeah. So that I know as a jockey, if I had a choice going inside or out, and I thought I had enough horse, the outside route is your best bet.
And obviously, he feels like he has enough horse.
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
have you, rolling.
Now, Mike, you have a jockey. You have a jockey school, Frankie. And then I was going to ask if Mike has ever been to it.
Oh,
did you teach him?
I taught him everything he knows. I just wanted to just know that right off the bat.
Tell us about your jockey school.
Okay, well, it's not a jockey school. It's a little camp I host annually, and because of the equisizer and over all the years of mentoring riders that I finally, now that I'm retired from racing, I can put my time into things that I've never been able to do. And one of them is to a place for up-and-coming kids or even adults that want to get into the business and don't know how to go about it. It's a tough thing trying to say, well, I get people come to me all the time, like, I want to be a jockey. What do I do? It's like, yikes.
Yeah.
Where do you go? And these kids are from all over the country, and there may not be other farms or safe places for them to go and know that they're going to be in good, safe hands and someone with credibility that will teach them the right things. So I created this this jockey camp as a way to kind of give them a roadmap, how to get started, putting the right ideas into their head, things that would keep them safe and on the right path. So that's kind of what my jockey camp is. And it's not just, it's a 3-day event, but I, when they come into it, I lay things out. And then when they leave, they know so much more. And I follow up with that. You know, they're always welcome to ask for advice or questions or how to. And I kind of provide that for these people that really have no resources.
Yeah, so basically you get to mentor them kind of through their career. That is, they should all call you Mr. Lovato then.
Well, thank you.
Don't inflate his head. Hey,
but
Frankie, I want to ask you. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I just wanted to ask Frankie, you know, you've been retired how long now?
6 years.
At times like this, when you see the Zenyatta, by the way, this, would you agree that this is probably the first horse in Secretariat that has gone mainstream, has gone outside the racing world, is on Oprah's magazine, is talked about in the mainstream like no other horse I've seen since Secretariat? Is that true? Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that. In fact, I think if it wasn't for Secretariat's 31-length victory in Belmont, I don't even think Secretariat got this much hype until after his career. So Zenyatta is definitely, I think this is history on top of history. I tell people, I mean, this is huge.
Do you think Mike says, Mike Smith, the jockey, by the way, we're talking to Frankie Lovato, an Eclipse Award-winning jockey as well, and Mike Smith says, and on 60 Minutes, wasn't it, Janie, he said, this will be the greatest horse of all time.
Mm-hmm.
If she wins this race.
I would agree to that.
Really?
Yeah.
I would, yeah. I've been actually kind of saying it, and she doesn't necessarily have to win this race. I mean, of course, that would just be mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, she's done all right already.
Yeah, her record's actually stronger than Secretariat's. Wow, yeah, I definitely agree that this is historic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
they were also talking about on 60 Minutes how this will absolutely break the heart of people everywhere. And I try to think, if she doesn't win, and I try to think of it as, you know, being able to watch this mare win these races, the way and the fashion that she has from behind, from, I mean, almost last place to first place in the home stretch. I think it's an honor enough to be there, but what do you think about if she loses this race? Not that I want to jinx her or anything. What do you think, Frankie, that's going to be said about her after that?
I think that there's a couple of levels of fans. I think the true fans, the true racehorse, the people that understand horse racing, know it's very possible she could lose this race, but they'll never, never take the credit away of what she's done and accomplished. I think the part-time fans, the people that have like jumped on board that really don't understand racing, know that there's Cinderella stories and there's a lot of broken hearts and times and that yes, everybody wants her to win, but I think the true fans, the people that understand horse racing, know that horse racing things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she could get beat. She could get beat because of traffic. She could have a bad day. Any of these things can happen. That anybody that's been involved with horse racing understands that and would never take the credit away from her, regardless.
Right. Now, Frankie, what's the best horse you've ever ridden, real quick?
Slough of Gold, as a 2-year-old. A horse named Van Landingham, Pancho Villa. I used to ride a nice horse named Boomtowner, Pete Moss. Be missed. I mean, these horses were probably, Slough of Gold would be probably the most famous.
Yeah.
He went on to be Horse of the Year. But I wasn't riding him at that time.
Aw.
I wish I was. But.
Well, thank you, Frankie. We appreciate you being on with us today. You've given us some insight into the jockey side of things, and we just thank you for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, Glenn. You know
all right,
that.
Happy Zenyatta Day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, our sponsor this half hour is Kentucky Performance Products. All horses have individual nutritional needs, whether they're racehorses or backyard horses. And we know that meeting them can be challenging. It doesn't matter if you are a professional horseman or a weekend warrior. You want to provide the nutrition necessary for your horses to thrive. The experts at Kentucky Performance Products understand this and have developed supplements that target specific needs. Kentucky Performance Products are formulated to complement today's feeds and safeguard against oversupplementation. Best of all, their supplements work. To choose the right KPP supplement for your horse, go to kppusa.com or give them a call at 800-772-1988. And to learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the experts at KPP, join their Facebook page. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. Well, I'll tell you what, we want to give Madison a shout-out. We had a caller on the line here waiting to talk to us, and apparently she had to go. Give us a call back later. We'd be happy to talk to you. I'm sorry we missed you there. We were about to go to you, and you dropped off. But next up, Jamie. By the way, that was fun talking to. I love he is so good at explaining what it's like to be a jockey, you know. And,
oh, I know.
And living that life, so it is fun to talk to him. But next up, we're going to change course here a little bit, Every Friday, we're going to be talking to the good folks at the Chronicle of the Horse. The Chronicle of the Horse is an affiliate of the Horse Radio Network. They carry our shows, and they carry Horses in the Morning right on their homepage, and we really appreciate that. So on Friday, we're going to be doing the Friday Chronicle Report, where they're going to join us. And Lisa Slade has been designated as the official Chronicle reportee. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you doing?
All right. This is pretty fancy technology.
Yes, it is. And you're on an exciting day today as we're talking about Zenyatta and everything Breeders' Cup. So it's kind of fun. But I wanted to ask you, we have you on, and we're going to have you on every Friday, giving us the Friday Chronicle Report.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit, though, for those that for the two people in this country that own horses that don't know. tell us about the Chronicle of the Horse, when it started, what it is, and, you know, where you guys are going in the future.
Good deal. All right. Well, first of all, the Chronicle has a pretty unique history. We've been around for quite a while now. We started in 1937, actually.
When
it started, it was called the Middleburg Chronicle. It was a local paper for the Middleburg area. We've obviously grown since then. We changed over to just the Chronicle. We went national. We're a weekly magazine now. We also have a website, www.crownofhorse.com. And we've been working really hard to develop, you know, a larger web presence in the last couple of years. We launched our brand new website just last November. That was our most recent, probably our largest redesign on the web.
And it's very nice.
Thank you very much. So, our mission is basically the same. We cover, you know, all the major horse sports. We cover the Olympic sports in depth. We cover hunters. We cover a little bit of driving, a little bit of endurance. I'm trying to think if I'm leaving anyone out here.
Eventing.
Lots of eventing, lots of massage, lots of show jumping.
Uh-huh.
We have people on assignment pretty much all the time. Right now we have Kat Netzler. She is in California at the Galway Downs CCI 3-star. It's the first 3-star on the West Coast, so that's really exciting for them. We have another reporter, Molly Sorge. She's at the Sport Horse Tournament in Syracuse, New York right now. So on any given week, we have people in pretty much all areas of the country covering all the major horse events.
So as a horse person, the reporter job for the Chronicle of the Horse is like the best job you could ever have, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to even call it a job most days. we're pretty lucky to be able to do what we do.
Were you reading the Chronicle when you were growing up?
I did. You know, it's funny. I went home to my parents' house for one of, you know, the last holidays, and I was looking through the Chronicles in my room. It's pretty neat to see. You know, they're not even that old. I think they were from probably like 1998 or something, but they look really different. It's really neat to read back through them.
And you probably at that point didn't think that you would ever be working for the Chronicle.
No, I mean, maybe I would have dreamed it, you know, but I don't think I ever thought that would happen.
Well, the Chronicle is such an institution in the horse world, especially obviously the English horse world, and it's just been such a part of everybody's life. I mean, you can remember being a kid and going to, like, I used to show hunter jumpers when I was 12 or 14, you know, and the thing we would do is we would get the Chronicle and see if our names were in it, you know, in the horse show reports.
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember, you know, when I was like 10 or 11, winning one of my first dressage classes, and I was pretty excited about a blue ribbon, but I was really excited because my name was going to be in the Chronicle for the first time.
Isn't that cool? You remember,
it's
like,
cool.
The first time you were in the Chronicle. It's like it's like an athlete being profiled on ESPN. An equestrian getting in the Chronicle is like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
What are you guys going to do? What's your plans now for the Chronicle, the Friday Chronicle Report here on Horses in the Morning? What are your plans for your segment?
Well, I hope every week, you know, we always have a lot going on here. We have people everywhere. There's always huge things happening. So we're going to try to pick one pretty interesting topic and just discuss some different facets of that topic. You know, a lot of times there'll be big events going on at the same time. Things will correlate with, you know, stories in our magazine or stories on our website. But at the same time, it's nice to draw on some of our history, too. You know, if we can sort of look back and look forward at the same time, hopefully I'll be able to do that a little bit on this show as well.
I noticed that there's a an article that just came out today in the Chronicle. And by the way, I wanted to elaborate a little. I don't know if our producer Jennifer is there, but you know, the Chronicle. You know, we all did grow up the Chronicle. I wanted to elaborate a little bit on what Jamie said. It was the thing that we read. And
yeah.
Obviously now a lot of people read it online, but there are still a ton of people, I bet, that get it mailed to them.
Yep, we do have a lot of people. We are trying to really expand our web presence because I think that's, you know, the best way to stay up with. That's how the news is transferred. You know, people don't wait to read in the magazine, you know, things that have happened. Now they want to read about them online as soon as possible. And then they want to get their magazine and read a really in-depth analysis of those things that happen and, you know, what it means to the sport overall. So that's what we're trying to focus on right now.
That was one of my favorite parts about the Chronicle, is that it, even before websites, it was so timely. It was the only thing around that was weekly.
Yeah.
It was you couldn't wait until Saturday rolled around and your Chronicle showed up in the mailbox and you could catch up on what was going on.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, now that it's online, it's the same idea. It's just that you watch it on a computer screen, but it's so timely.
Yeah, we really try, you know, to get the news out there as fast as possible, but also as accurately as possible and, you know, make sure we hear from all the parties that we need to before we report on things. So we try to be really thorough, but also quick.
Lisa, I remember, gosh, this is, it had to be like 1998. I can't remember, or do I know how long Denny Emerson wrote the back page of the Chronicle, but his articles were so fantastic.
Yeah.
And I remember just following article after article after article. And then one day, years later, I saw an ad in the Chronicle that Denny Emerson was hiring.
Oh, and that's really cool.
Yeah. And so I applied for the job, got the job. I got to go interview in Vermont. It was a brief stint in Vermont. And I got to go interview with Denny Emerson. And I just remember going, this is the guy that writes all the articles in the Chronicle. I mean, he was my hero forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, thanks to the Chronicle, I got to work for Denny Emerson. So
that's,
I just wanted
cool.
to let you know that story, because I, you know, I traversed through all of his articles every week, and to be standing there on his farm in Vermont and in Southern Pines, and to be able to travel with them for a little while and learn from him, it was the experience of a lifetime, and I really do owe it all to Chronicle.
Oh, that's really neat. That's a cool story.
Well, and you know, I wanted to say too, you know, you guys do in-depth articles. You really do get in-depth. Like the one I read this morning, and how can the U.S. inventing team get back to winning medals? That was new.
Yep.
I think that you just posted that, didn't you?
Yeah, we just posted that, and that came out in our WEG analysis issue.
You know, it's 6 pages long. It's in depth. You guys really do your research, and it's always so much fun too when we got to see all of you at the WEG and spend some time together. It's always fun to see you out and about at events, because if I ever have a question that I need answered for a show, you just go ask you guys, because you know the answer.
Well, that's nice to hear. We try to know, you know, what we're talking about. Sometimes, you know, we have to fake it a little bit, but for the most part, I think.
Well, now also, well, we got to ask, it's Zenyatta Day. Have you been following her at all?
I have. You know, we don't cover flat racing, but that doesn't mean, I mean, all of us here are horse people. So, you know, everyone has been following Zenyatta, and I'm really excited about Saturday. Also nervous for her, because it's just, you just don't want to see her get beat.
Right, exactly.
But I'm sure it'll be a good sport no matter what happens.
Now, are you still riding? You said you rode.
Yep, I still ride. I have a horse here with me in Virginia.
And what do you do? Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I started out as a dressage rider. I spent most of my childhood and teenage years doing that. And then I bought my most recent horse. She came off the track. She's a thoroughbred. And it turns out she really likes to jump. So I've been learning a little bit about eventing.
I was going to say, but you like to jump. See?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. First, it was kind of terrifying, but now I've gotten into it a little more. And it's pretty neat. I'm pretty addicted now, I'm afraid.
Oh, it's the most addicting thing you could do, I think. I mean, as far as my experience, you know, doing dressage and 100 jumpers, and then you do one cross-country course, and I swear you're hooked.
Yep,
that's all
you
need.
I mean, it's pretty much you know, right before you go out to do it, I was like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. But then the second you're done, you're like, that was the coolest thing ever. I want to do it again. So that's pretty much where I am.
We want to thank you for joining us today. We're looking forward to next Friday when you bring us the Friday Chronicle report and have a topic for us to chat about and an article or two. We really appreciate you being on with us today. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
And go to work and
tell everybody happy Zenyatta Day and thanks for being a part of the show.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks. This show's really great. Glad you guys are doing it.
All right, bye, Lisa.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to be right back after the news with more of our guests on Zenyatta. But first, Chris Stafford and Friday's news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The Arabian Horse Association Commissioner is investigating an incident where an Arabian show horse's tail was cut short in an act of sabotage during the U.S. National Arabian and Half Arabian Championship Horse Show at Expo Square in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The attending veterinarian has stated that while the incident did not cause any pain to the horse, it could take 6 months to a year for the tail to grow back. The U.S. National Arabian and Half Arabian Championship Horse Show that ran through the end of October featured 615,000 horses participating in 134 classes. The nine-day event is the grand finale of the Arabian Horse National Show season. The event has made a home in Tulsa's Expo Square since 2008 and will have an estimated $33 million economic impact to the area. U.S. eventing team rider Boyd Martin is currently seeking syndication partners for his 11-year-old Australian thoroughbred gelding Neville Bardos. Boyd and Neville were the highest-placed American combination at the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games, finishing in 10th place on their dressage score. They finished fourth at the Rolex event earlier this year, which earned them selection for the World Equestrian Games. The syndicate will be divided into 10 shares costing $15,000 each, with a $3,000 annual maintenance fee. Neville Barnes is being aimed for the 2012 Olympic Games in London, so this is a chance to own a top-level event horse and to participate in eventing. The American Association of Equine Practitioners Foundation has awarded $262,000 in grants to 15 non-profit organizations and universities working for the health and welfare of horses. The American Quarter Horse Foundation, the Morris Animal Foundation, American Youth Horse Council, and the Race for Education are among the 2010 grant recipients that share the foundation's mission to support equine research, benevolence, education, and the equine community. From funding laminitis research to sponsoring an equitation mission in Mexico, the foundation supports a wide range of initiatives for improving equine welfare. The foundation is also allocating funding for a number of student programs, including dentistry and farriery short courses, scholarships, and activity stipends for AAEP student chapters in a continued effort to promote the veterinary profession. For the past 16 years, the AAEP Foundation has allocated more than $1.8 million in grants to programs that promote the health of horses. And finally, the story of Tank. Weighing in at 70 pounds, the dwarf mini horse is about 1/20th what an average horse weighs and barely skims the knees of an average-sized person. That diminutive size, coupled with the severity of his birth deformity, made surgery on the young horse a complicated challenge for the surgical team at New Bolton Center. Lily and Victor Leonard had first become smitten with Tank when they saw him lying down in a field at 2 months old. Following earlier treatment, Tank came to the George D. Widener Hospital earlier this year with a history of a deformity of his right forelimb centered at the fetlock joint. It caused him to walk on the side of his hoof wall instead of flat-footed. A radiograph revealed a deformity of the right cannon bone, the longest bone in the horse's front leg. In addition, he was unwilling or unable to place the heels of both hind feet on the ground. His cannon bone is about the size of an index finger. Now, after 8 weeks of stall rest and a slow recovery, Tank is doing great, and Mrs. Leonard is looking forward to many years of enjoyment with him. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Now, in celebration of all things Zenyatta today, we are very lucky to have an incredibly special guest on the phone with us. And we're going to talk right now to Steve Willard, Zenyatta's exercise rider. How you doing, Steve?
Very good, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on with Horses in the Morning. And I know it's probably a very busy day for you. Did you ride Zenyatta this morning?
Oh, she went excellent. She's training very forwardly here. She loves the weather, and I the way she's handling the track, I think it'll be a good day.
So she looks good, she feels good, all that?
Oh, yeah, just superb, just superb. She's coming into the race with, I can't find a fault right now, other than she wants to go too much with me in the morning.
She's pulling on you a little bit?
She's pulling on me a little bit. Usually she's a little easier to gallop, but she's really coming into her game good right now.
Now, obviously, the whole world knows who Zenyatta is and calls her Zenyatta. Do you have a barn name for her?
Do I pardon again?
Do you have a barn name for her?
Yeah, Zenyatta.
So Her Royal Highness Zenyatta, is that what it is?
yeah. We just call her by Zenyatta. Some people call her Zenny, but I've always called her Zenyatta.
Oh, gotcha. So now we're talking with Steve Willard, Zenyatta's exercise rider. He rode her this morning. What makes Zenyatta special to you personally, Steve?
All her personality. She's got a great motor function and all that stuff, but she's just got a terrific personality.
How so?
Oh, yeah. She likes people. She's not a mean mare at all. She can get cantankerous, but that's part of the game. But no, she's just a lovely mare, and just is always like people. If you notice, everybody gets a picture with her. She just stands like a statue.
Now, I actually saw that some celebrities have come to visit Zenyatta and get their pictures taken with her. Is this true?
Absolutely, yeah. Terrell Owens has been by, and Bo Derek, and there's been a lot of people, and the Mr. and Mrs. Moss, they're the premier ones.
Oh, of course, of course. Now, you know, all this talk about Zenyatta, and the question is she the greatest racehorse of all time?
Well, you have to. That's comparing apples and oranges.
Okay.
You can't detract from any of these great horses that have been down the track in prior years. Look, what Citation, Secretariat. I mean, these were not just good horses, but great, great horses. And how you can't compare from the 1940s or 70s to the year 2009 or 2010. It's a different time, a different era, different racing services. There's so many factors involved. But, you put her in the top 20, you know, the top 10, the top 20 greatest horses of all times. I mean, there's Man of War. I mean, you just go down the list and find so many great horses. She'd have to be in that category. But to say the greatest, you're sort of stretching it just a little bit.
Okay. I actually agree with you. You can't go back to 1938 and talk about Man of War and compare him to today because things are so different. I mean, she's run on artificial surface most of the time, and here's Man of War who, you know, battled it out. They didn't even probably have Butte back then.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you just can't compare. You just can't. Is putting her in the top 10 or 20 of greatest racehorses of all time? I could do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in that category. And that's putting in a pretty elite group now.
Now, talking with Steve Willard, Zenyatta's exercise rider, seems like everyone is saying Saturday is her last race. Yet, I read an article where the Moss has said, you know, kind of hinted at the fact that it might not be. What do you think?
Well, now that I wouldn't even delve into that. I would not even give you my opinion.
You're going to no comment that one, huh?
No comment, ma'am.
Good idea. Hey, Mike Smith said there's no stallion worthy of Zenyatta. Do you agree, or do you have kind of like an underlying pick for when she goes to the breeding shed?
I don't have any particular one involved. That's not my part of the game that much. Whoever they they get, I hope the horse is worthy of her.
It's going to be hard.
Yes.
Another question for you, and this is kind of silly, but, you know, did you see the movie Seabiscuit?
Not yet, I haven't. I've heard about it, and I met Penny at her last race at Hollywood, and I never realized, you know, how much she put on the line to get that horse going. And I think it's a story, if I'm not wrong, about her battle, not so much, you know, I mean the horse, yeah, but what she went through.
Yeah, and the movie Secretariat, it is very much kind of her story,
yeah,
and the way that she had to really work pretty hard to get him to that race. But I'm even going back further and asking you about the Tobey Maguire Seabiscuit movie. Did you see that one? Okay, do you remember? Go ahead.
I have seen it, you know, and it's an okay one. That's an okay movie, don't get me wrong, you know, but I think that was, you know, for the public and everything. I mean, it was a good movie, don't get me wrong. Some good friends were in it of mine, and so that was advantageous for them. But anyways, if I'm not wrong, it's a little bit different story.
It is, but there's a part in it, Steve, where in the movie Seabiscuit, I guess they were doing an interview and they said, oh yeah, Seabiscuit likes to drink beer. And all of a sudden, cases upon cases of beer show up at his stall. Now, after the 60 Minutes interview, where John said that they give her a Guinness every day, do you guys have an endorsement with Guinness yet or anything?
They haven't given us one. I don't think they need one.
No endorsement needed with $6 million in earnings, huh?
No, they haven't said anything, and we haven't contacted them to my knowledge.
Okay, just curious to see,
yeah,
if they drop some,
yeah,
beer off. So,
yeah.
You know, thank you so much for joining us. Another question real quick. Number 8 post position, what do you think about it?
That's great.
You like that
Perfect.
One?
Perfect. Great.
Did That's any just, part of you ever wish that she would just go wire to wire and stop giving everybody ulcers?
No.
That's not her thing.
That's not her thing. It wouldn't be her. What she does and the way she does it, that's her. That's why I start stall walking when she runs.
So is she going to win on Saturday?
Boy, we wouldn't be here if we didn't think we couldn't.
Good. Well, Steve Willard, Zenyatta's exercise rider, thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Show. It's been a big thrill to talk to you. And we just couldn't wish you more luck. I mean, we're having a Zenyatta party here at our farm tomorrow, and I know everybody's going to have them around the world. So hopefully we're all going to be very excited at the end of tomorrow.
Well, very good, and thank you very much for the call, and I've got to get back to work right now.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Well, that was terrific, and, you know, I let you go there because you can hear the excitement in your voice.
I absolutely love this mare. I think she's phenomenal, and to get to talk to Steve Willard, the guy who's been riding Zenyatta for years every single day is such a thrill, and to be able to get the opinion of somebody there is cool as well. So thanks for letting me take that one. I really appreciate it. We do have some people calling for Happy
Zenyatta
Day.
Yeah, let's talk to Katie first. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So you were calling to say Happy Zenyatta Day.
Yes. Happy Zenyatta Day, everybody.
Are
you
excited?
You guys are having a good time down there.
Yes, we are.
Oh,
we're having
we
a blast.
Are.
Now,
are you
tell
as
us,
excited
Katie,
about this as we are?
I am. You know, I think it's great that we get to see a wonderful mare like this. It's a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So it's pretty exciting in the race world.
It is. Now, you're a big race fan?
You know, I follow it here and there. I follow the big names. I guess I'm kind of a bandwagon race fan.
Well, that's certainly okay. I mean, you know. It's hard, and I. Where do you live?
I'm here in Lexington.
You're in Lexington, okay. It's hard for anybody outside of Lexington to get horse racing news, simply because of you guys have it in the paper every morning. I remember when I lived in Lexington, and to get the Herald Leader, there'd be a racehorse on the front cover. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. Now, those of us that live on the West Coast or in Phoenix where we don't have a whole lot of racing, you know, we need that media coverage and we need that big name to get us excited about everything.
Yes, yes. We are definitely inundated with the race world here. I mean, it's in our backyard, so it becomes just a part of your everyday. So, you know, you've got a lot of people who, you know, really follow it. And then since we hear it so much, you can follow it at your leisure. And I'm kind of one of those people. You know, it's great that there's a filly that's doing so well, especially in the male-dominated sport of racing. So that's what I think excites me the most, is that we're going to have a mare that people are going to be talking to for years.
Is there a party you're going to tomorrow?
I'm not. I'm actually, I'm not going to a party, but I will be at a horse-related banquet, awards banquet, and hopefully be able to catch the race while I'm there.
I was going
to
say, so somebody better have a TV there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
Jeez.
What I thought.
Well, thanks, Katie. We appreciate you calling in from my hometown of Lexington.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Jamie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Katie. Well,
let's talk to our next caller, Lisa from West Virginia. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jamie. How's it going?
Good.
Happy Vinyata Day.
I'm so excited. I just want to tell you guys, Secretariat's been my favorite of all time. And everybody's like, oh, is Vinyata the greatest racehorse, you know, ever? And I know that things have changed and that surfaces have changed. But in my humble opinion in horse racing, the racing times say it all. Secretariat, 159 and two-fifths for the Kentucky Derby. She's going to be on the same track, same distance. Is she going to be able to break that record?
Ooh,
and you
good
know,
challenge.
A lot of that, I think, and I'm not an expert. I'm just a fan. A lot of that's going to depend on what kind of pace there is in the race because she doesn't take the lead till the end, but neither did Secretariat.
That's
very
true.
Much,
that is true.
She very much has the same style as Secretariat. So, you know what, though? Regardless, she's the greatest. They both.
Well, you know, I think the whole mare thing, we haven't really expanded upon that, but that has a play in this. I mean, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. The fact that she's a mare makes this just it attaches to everybody's heart then.
And, you know, I, as a fan, I always felt pressure. You know, I started watching horse racing when I was like 12 years old back in 1989, and I had watched all these things on Secretariat and thought, oh, my God, there's going to be a Triple Crown this year because Easy Goer and Sunday Silence had this rivalry going.
Yeah.
And Sunday Silence won the Derby and the Preakness, and he was kind of the Cinderella story. When he lost the Belmont, I was completely devastated. Being a little kid, I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe he lost, you know. Of course, he came back and won the Breeders' Cup that year, but there have been so many disappointments in my lifetime in horse racing. But
I felt
Vinyata,
that way about Big Brown. I was a Big Brown fan.
I know.
And I was
you just
so
really feel devastated.
Crushed. Yeah, we had a Big Brown Belmont bash. We had the Preakness party for him. I mean, it was.
Oh, yeah.
We went on and on about Big Brown, and you're right. I mean,
oh,
this is really hard to do. I mean, she's a mare, and she's gone 19-0. It is just next to impossible.
You know, regardless, and I hope her owners and her connections feel this way, as a fan, I don't feel any pressure for her. I think that they're having a really good time, and I think she's proved everything she needs to prove. And even if she would lose tomorrow, that doesn't take anything away from her. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm with you.
I agree.
You know,
I mean,
I hope they're not feeling pressure because they've
got
nothing
to prove. You don't run 19 races like she did and win all 19 in the way she has won them and not be a great racehorse.
I know. She's pretty phenomenal. I'm excited. Oh, and just so everybody knows, you can watch the Breeders' Cup, all the races live. There's a Breeders' Cup app for iPhone, and it's free.
Is that right?
If you go to the App Store. You can watch them live.
Oh, I'm going to do it.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know. Is it free?
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely free.
Just search for Breeders' Cup?
Yep.
Well,
cool.
Lisa, thank you so much.
That's on the
thanks
iPhone. I don't know about the Droid. Probably so, but I know it's on the iPhone.
Probably is.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Lisa. We appreciate it.
All right, great talking to you guys. Have fun tomorrow.
All right, see ya. Yep.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we have, I want to get to Alexa next. Alexa.
Yeah,
looks like Alexa saw Zenyatta at Churchill yesterday. So, hi, Alexa.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, so you actually saw the Queen herself?
Yes, I did. I had the opportunity to see her workout, and then was back at the barns, were able to take photographs and and really look at her at after she worked and when they were walking her out and grazing. It was quite an experience, really. She's just such a unique individual. I mean, she's very quiet and resolute, was looking at the crowd, would stop and pose. It's just amazing to see her on the backstretch and on her day-to-day type, day at the track. It was great. So, and as an artist, I really wanted to see her in the flesh before they retired her, so it was an exciting experience for me.
So how'd you get back there?
Oh, I have friends in the thoroughbred business that had passes, and so we all jumped in the. I got up at 4:30 here in Versailles, where I live, and fed my horses, which I'm sure they thought, "What the heck's going on?" 4:30 in the morning, and we drove over and got there. I think we were there before 7, and like everybody else, waited around. Or I think it was a little bit after 9 when they brought her out to work her. So it was hush of the crowd, lots of clicking of cameras, everybody.
Sure.
And it was amazing to see the people that were there. There's lots of horse people that are not only in the thoroughbred business, but I recognize people in the show horse business and things like that. So it was a lot of fun to see people there.
Okay, well, you got to tell us, who'd you see? Were anybody big in the horse world?
Actually, I saw Misty Wrigley, and she's in the saddle horse business, and she also drives foreign hand coaching. So she was there. That was kind of fun because I've done work for her in the art field, and saw her face and got to say hi to her. It was just cute, you know. So everybody's there. It was really fun. It really was. I saw Alex Brown, who's doing the book on Barbara right now. He's just finishing that up, so we got to chat a little bit and quite
wow.
A few other people. So that's cool.
Well, we do appreciate it, Alexa.
Thanks,
you know,
Alexa.
I mean, what a thrill to see Zenyatta working out and getting cooled down and hot walked and everything. So we do appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us.
Well, thank you so much. It was really an honor for me, and I had. As a sculptor and doing Barbro, I wasn't able to see him when he was racing, but certainly was a great opportunity for me to see this mare when she's top of her game. So I hope everything works out for her, and it's a fabulous race. I can't wait.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you Monday.
Sure. Yeah, thank
All
you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, the sponsor of this half hour, I'm going to tell you about it, but I'm also going to tell you first, we have a very special guest coming up in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. But right now, the sponsor of this half hour is Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products. It provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his or her lifetime. Joint Armor is considered concentrated and affordable. One jar of Joint Armor lasts up to 75 days. Joint Armor helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints. It also supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with all the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Learn more about Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products and all of the rest of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
And now we have coming up a very special guest, Donna Barton Brothers, former jockey who now covers horse racing for NBC and TVG, with her take on this week's Breeders' Cup. And, you know, you'll recognize her because she's the one with the microphone riding around at the Kentucky Derby interviewing the jockeys, has the best job in the world. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. We're so glad you agreed to come on this morning and chat with us about the Breeders' Cup and Zenyatta. By the way, happy Zenyatta Day.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. What better subject to talk about than Zenyatta?
I know, and you know what? We've had more callers today than we've had all week because Zenyatta just brings out the passion in people. So tell us, let's start with Zenyatta. I want to ask you about the other Breeders' Cup races, and I want to remind people they can call us at 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear for more callers today. What about Zenyatta in your mind? You've covered Ray, you've been a jockey. Tell us your thoughts.
Well, in the thoroughbred business, a big horse is 17 hands. Like, you'll hear somebody say, you know, this horse is 17 hands, and people are always wowed by that because that's a big horse, and usually when they're talking about a horse like that, it's a colt. Zenyatta's 17, too, and she has dapples on top of dapples. She's just she's an amazing athlete, but she's also just received such great guidance from John Sheriff, who, you know, he had her at two. He could have raced her at two. He said she just wasn't ready. She didn't make her first start until the fall, like almost Thanksgiving of her three-year-old year. So she had two starts at three and I think five starts at four and I think five or six starts at five. So it just goes to show you when somebody takes care of a horse, that horse will turn around and also take care of you. And he said, you know, like even when she did start at three, you know, there were a couple – you know, puffy ankles here and there, and that was it, you know, and he let her have the time that she needed, and look how she has rewarded the people who've taken care of her for, her, you know, for them doing such a great job with her.
Absolutely. Now, we're talking with Donna Brothers, and Donna, of course, is the one who has probably the coolest job in the horse world. And after each Kentucky Derby, all the big races, you'll see a woman galloping out there on a horse to go and catch basically, you basically catch the jockey, grab him and interview him. And, you know, talk about that experience and being able to do that job.
Well, as Glenn said in his introduction, I was a jockey myself. And so I do think it takes somebody who has had a lot of background on the racetrack, and certainly it helps to have been a jockey to understand the opportune point when to go, you know, attack them for that interview. But I do want to say also that they can't wait to do the interview, because doing that interview means they just won the Kentucky Derby. And
well,
so every, you know, all the lead up to the Derby, anytime I see any of those jocks, they always say, "Hey, Donna, how you doing? I'll be talking to you after the race." Like, they're ready, you know. But, you know, it just doesn't – it doesn't matter whether you know the jockey who just won the Kentucky Derby really, really well, or if you know him casually, or if you just met him in the jocks room the day before. They are so filled with joy and just relief and accomplishment. And the outpouring of emotion that they are feeling, I think, comes across on TV, but certainly hits me hard every time. And – so I just feel such joy for them, whether I've known them for a day or 10 years, and whether we've been great friends or just casual acquaintances, you can't help but to feel joy for them, and I hope that it comes across to the viewers too.
Let's talk about the race tomorrow, the classic that's going to run, I think at 6:15 or 6:45, I don't remember which now, Eastern time. 6:45, okay. Mm-hmm. So who are Zenyatta's biggest challengers in this race?
Well, I would say that you're looking at five particular horses. Haynesfield, trained by Steve Asmussen, is going to be the speed of the race. Quality Road is going to be the horse that is most likely to stock that speed. In the Jockey Club Gold Cup, which is a race that's run up in New York, Haynesfield got an easy lead in that race and went wire to wire. He was never caught in a race that Blame was in. Blame finished second in there. And everybody thought Blame was the better horse, but it just goes to show that if a horse gets loose on the lead, they can be dangerous. So Haynesville's
right.
Going to be the main speed. And then you have Quality Road, trained by Todd Pletcher, who should be stalking him. The three main closers are Zenyatta, Blame, and Looking at Lucky. I suppose it's conceivable that one of those five horses don't get the trip and somebody else wins, but it's unlikely because it looks like Haynesfield's probably going to be stalked by Quality Road. If he's not, he's got a shot to go wire to wire. If he breaks bad and Quality Road gets an easy lead, he's got a shot to go wire to wire, although many people think he can't get a mile and a quarter distance, that that's just about an eighth of a mile further than he really wants to go. Meanwhile, you're going to have Zenyatta, Looking at Lucky, trained by Bob Baffert, and Blame, who's trained by Al Stahl and owned by Claiborne Farm, who's celebrating their 100th anniversary of the farm here in Lexington, Kentucky. And it's all been in their family for 100 years. So, you know, Zenyatta is a great story, no question about it. She's the story, the best story. But if Blame happens to, and by the way, he's second choice right behind Zenyatta. If Blame happens to run his race, it's also a great story for the tradition of raising thoroughbreds in Lexington, Kentucky, and at Claiborne Farm. So it really comes down to those five horses.
So who are you pulling for?
Yeah.
I'm with everybody. I'm pulling for Zenyatta. I mean, you know, first of all, you'd witness history. And secondly, if you've looked at Zenyatta for more than 3 minutes and you haven't fallen in love with her yet, you don't like horses enough.
Now, we asked Frankie Lovato earlier, and I'm sure you know Frankie. We asked Frankie because Mike Smith, he's friends with Mike Smith, and I'm sure you know Mike very well. And Mike said, you know, this horse, whether she wins tomorrow or not, will be looked back at as one of the greatest horses in history. We've been asking everybody that today. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no question that she's going to be one of the greatest horses in history. I think the argument is she going to be the greatest horse in history? And that's certainly open for debate, but it's been a debate that we've had for 200 years in our industry, because how do you compare Citation and Man of War and Secretariat and Zenyatta if they never got a race together?
Okay, so we just talked to Steve Willard, Zenyatta's exercise rider, and he said the exact same thing and mentioned the exact same horses that you just did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
Oh, my gosh, he said the same thing. He goes, you can't compare Citation and Man of War and Secretary, all these horses, to her because of just the difference in time. And like I told him, they didn't have Butte back in Man of War's days, you know. They had to massage him through the soreness or whatever he experienced.
Not only that, he flew here, first class. Man of War was on the train.
I know, right?
We are talking to Donna Barton Brothers. And, Donna, I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, everybody's focusing on this race, but the Breeders' Cup is a whole bunch of races. Are there any other, in all these other races, are there any other superstars that may emerge and pop out of this weekend?
Well, the two-year-olds are what we always look for, because whoever wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile for the two-year-old boys is the probable favorite for next year's Kentucky Derby. So you really need to focus on the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, not the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, the one that's run on dirt, particularly because it's run over the same dirt course that the Kentucky Derby's run over. So it already proves that those horses that run well in that race like this racetrack and handle it well. A horse that I like today, she's in the Breeders' Cup Filly Ameriturf, is a filly named Red Desire. She's from Japan, and she's 8-1. And I like her because the favorite in there, Midday, is 6-5. Midday comes from Europe and has always raced on soft or very yielding turf. Our firm turf course is not going to be anything like what she's raced over. So when you have a 6-5 favorite, you have to try to figure out ways that you can beat them. And I think Red Desire at 8-1 is in a good position to do that. She makes her second start in the U.S. Her only start was a good race in the Flower Bowl Handicap over a yielding turf up in New York that Kent DeSormo said she didn't handle the track at all. She's been training great here. And I think another vulnerable favorite in there is Harmonious, trained by John Sheriff, the trainer of Zenyatta. She comes off of a huge win in the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge over in Lexington, Kentucky, which was a Grade 1 win, but it was the biggest effort of her life to date. And typically, she's going to need to have a better effort, and typically horses don't have a better effort off their biggest effort ever. So, Red Desire, Breeders' Cup Filly Ameriturf, is my 8-1 long shot of the day.
Cool.
Okay,
you know what? I have a question for you. All that you know about racing and all the horses you've ridden and all the races you've been to, does that help you at the betting window?
Oh, yeah, without question. You know, I always say, and you guys are horsemen too, so you understand what a horse looks like. I always say, you know, those past performances are great, but everybody can read them, and everybody can decipher the same information from them, and they are past performances. The most important thing is to look at those past performances, narrow it down to 5-6 of your favorite top horses, and then go to the paddock and see the horses, or go out to the racetrack and watch them on the racetrack and see who looks good today. And that kind of horse background will put you ahead of a handicapper who's been doing this for, you know, 50 years.
Well, yeah.
Either that or you shadow Donna at the racetrack and you just stand over her shoulder the whole time.
Exactly.
Well, you can do it. Come on.
Well, Donna, the problem is that I have been to the paddock and I have read the sheets, and you know what? I suck at betting. Let me just tell you why. Because I go out to the paddock and I pick the one that I think is the prettiest. You know, I'm like, oh, that one looks good. But it turns out that its next career of jumping will be really good. He just sucks as a racehorse.
Yeah, it's not a beauty contest. You have to remember that. It's an athlete's contest. So when you go to the paddock, don't pick out the prettiest. Pick out the one that's the most athletic and looks like it's on their toes, but not over the line. You don't want a horse that's like so on their toes that they're lathered out before they ever leave the paddock. It's a fine line. But remember, you're picking out the athlete, Janie, not the beauty.
And not the one that I think will make the best dressage prospect. So don't
no,
pick that one.
You don't want to be like, oh, look, her carriage is so nice. I love the way she tucks her head. And, yeah, no, that's not exactly what you're looking for.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Well, just let it go, Jamie. Let it go.
Donna, yeah. We want to thank you for joining us. This has been a pleasure. By the way, it was very nice to see you over at the World Equestrian Games, too. Donna and I got to watch a little bit of vaulting, vaulting together. It was fun. We had a good time over there.
I want to mention that the other day when I was doing the TVG work show, I pointed out that, you know, Zenyatta's 6 years old right now. And I said, you know, I just got done covering the World Equestrian Games. And they can't even compete at the Grand Prix dressage level until they're six. So because of the fact that she's still sound, which is the problem with racehorses, it's conceivable that at 6 years old she is the best she's ever been and that next year she could be even better. And you know that, Glenn, from your background.
Yes. Yep, that is absolutely right. Yep,
so
you're absolutely right. If they can stay sound till they're six as a racehorse, you're almost a miracle horse to begin with.
Yeah, you're right.
Donna, thank you so much for calling in. Wow, what a pleasure to talk to you and an honor. I've been watching you for years on TV, so it's really cool to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Jamie, and thank you, Glenn. It's good to talk to both of you.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Especially the Derby time.
Yeah, we'll get her back. Well, for certain, we'll have her back. She just covers racing like nobody else. This is her life, and it's what she does. And obviously, she can give us insights that we don't have, and that our average. You know, we're the average horse person that watches racing. You're a little bit more into it than I am, but you know, we don't understand all the nuances, and that's why doing a show like this, it's neat to have people on that can help us understand that. I wanted to remind you of our call-in number. It's 347-637-3238. We still have some time to take some calls. Tell us what you think about tomorrow. Are you having a party? What are your plans for the race time tomorrow? We want to hear from you. And, you know, I think what we'll do today, when we end the show today, I'll play the second part of that Zenyatta recording. I'll play the show out today with that. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, Glenn compiled a I don't want to say a list, but like every race that she has won, the call at the home stretch, and Glenn put them all together, and it is really cool. We played the first 10 at the beginning of the show, and now we're going to play at the end of the show here the last 9 races, and hopefully we'll get to add to that one after Saturday. How about that?
That'll be great. I think I would be happy to put that together for Monday. Matter of fact, if she wins on Saturday, we're going to play the whole race on Monday. That won't be a problem at all.
Oh, now, my gosh.
I see Michelle is on here. I don't know if she's just listening in or wants to say hi and put in her 2 cents about Zenyatta, but let's see if
surprise
she is there. Michelle, are you there, Michelle?
Hey.
Hey. So what do you think?
Oh, I'm excited about tomorrow. When it was a big deal about Horse of the Year, I was a Rachel fan. But, you know, you just can't discount this horse. And you guys were saying everything I was thinking when Donna was on a minute ago. You know, this horse is six. That alone for a racehorse to be sound at 6 years old is fantastic.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She's happy. She's sound. It just says so much about her management, her whole team, the horse herself, everything. You can't not like this horse. You can't not love this horse.
So
I'm going to be watching tomorrow.
So, Michelle, you mentioned Rachel. Now, for those who don't know, Rachel Alexander was another mare who was almost as successful as Zenyatta. And Rachel actually won Horse of the Year last year and beat out Zenyatta, I mean, by a nose in the voting. And I, for one, was a little bit peeved that Rachel won, but I thought she was awesome, too. And there was a lot of talk about doing a match race between the two of them. Since then, Rachel lost a couple and has retired, going to the breeding shed. But Zenyatta, like you said, 6 years old, sound and still running, and has the absolute race of her life tomorrow.
Definitely. Definitely. I know if I was going to look for a horse on the track, I'd be looking for something that had been running and had done so in a sound way. You just can't help but appreciate everything that goes into that. And just the fact that the horse is so pretty and the people are so fantastic with her. They let all the fans, you know, come up and see her and feel like they're part of this. And that, you know, in 30 years, that's what they'll be making a movie of. And that people are going to call in and say, I was 10 years old and I got to go up and touch Zenyatta and I watched her at the racetrack. That's really what's going to make a difference to the sport.
I really hope so. I really hope so, Michelle. Well, call us back on Monday, and we'll hopefully be discussing the victory.
We'll be drinking champagne. We'll be drinking champagne at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 5 o'clock,
right.
Your time.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll do it.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, we have another caller. I want to say hi to Jackie. Happy Zenyatta Day, Jackie. I think Jackie's there.
There you
go. Hi,
Jackie.
Hi.
Are you there?
I am here.
Hey, happy Zenyatta Day.
Hi, happy Zenyatta Day to you, too.
Where
so
you
will you be
from?
Watching?
Will I be watching? I hope
tomorrow.
So. I'm going to be stuck at an event, so I'm feverishly looking for ways that I can watch it on my droid.
Well, did they say that all the races will be broadcast on that iPhone app? I wonder if there's a droid app, too.
I look. I haven't found one yet.
Oh,
it's
no.
Specifically just an iPhone app right now. So I'm going to check out some of the other sports sites and see what I can find out. I'll be sure to let you know if I find anything.
Yeah, we'll post it.
Jackie, here's what I think. I think that your voice sounds a little shaky and you might be coming down with a cold.
Oh, no. I hope not.
I think you're sounding a little bit sick, and there might, you know, tomorrow you might not be able to get out of bed.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's going to be a long night at a cold football game, too. That might not bode well.
That'll push you over the edge.
Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble. So you might need to go ahead and call it.
I will find a way. Don't you worry.
Jackie, where are you calling from?
I am in Ohio.
Ooh, Ohio.
Yeah, not such a nice place to be. It's kind of cold and dreary right now.
Yeah, I lived there for a while.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Well, Jackie, thank you for calling in. And I wanted to mention to everybody again that we forgot to say, because we've had so many guests today, we've been having so much fun, that the winning caller today, when we draw out of a hat, is winning a pair of hanging balls from Uncle Jimmy. That's Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. It's a horse treat, people. We do a
Glenn,
D-rated show here.
I think you enjoy that too much.
I do. I do. But I'd rather actually hear Jamie say it, but she refused. So,
it's your guns, Jamie.
You know, it's funny because Uncle Jimmy's is a sponsor on the Stable Scoop radio show, and Helena begs to do the Uncle Jimmy's commercial. So there you go. Shout out. I also give a shout out to Samantha Clark, my co-host from the 2010 show that we did for 2 years about the World Equestrian Games. I chatted with her yesterday. She's doing well, but I think she's just missing doing the shows a little bit. But she listens to the morning show here. So hi, Samantha. And Jackie, we appreciate you calling. Call in again on Monday when we're drinking champagne.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jackie. Happy Zenyatta Day.
So we're back. I think that it's we're plain running out of time again today. It's hard to believe, isn't it? This went so fast.
I know it did. What a cool show we had. Now, if you're just tuning in and you want to think, should I go back and listen from the beginning? Absolutely, you should. We talked to, and thank you so much for being a part of the show, jockey Frankie Lovato, Eclipse Award-winning jockey Frankie Lovato. We also talked to Lisa Slade from The Chronicle of the Horse, Donna Barton Brothers, obviously a thrill to talk to her anytime, and We talked to Steve Willard, Zenyatta's exercise rider. He rode her this morning, people, and told us how she's going. So what an awesome show to be a part of, and we certainly hope you guys all enjoyed it as well.
Hang on till the very end, because I'm going to be playing the second part after we do our credits here. I'm going to be playing, and we'll take the show out with the second part, the last nine races of the calls, to the very end of the show. So hang on for that, because you're going to want to hear it. I don't know about you, and this could be because I'm a sap. I've had goosebumps the entire show.
Oh, I know.
You know, how cool is it for us, you and I both? I've been doing the Horse Radio Network for 2 years. We do weekly shows. So we're not able to be as responsive to topics like this as other, you know, as we are with this show. So we do weekly shows. We have to plan our topics in advance. We can't be spontaneous. We put this show together, thanks to your help, Jamie, by the way. We put these guests together in a matter of 2 days. And we were able to get this show together on the spur of the moment. That's what Horses in the Morning, that's what's going to make it different from our other shows, is we're able to be a little bit more responsive, and we're able to take your calls. That's what makes it so cool for Jamie and I, is we can actually have input from you, we can talk to you, and you can be part of the show. That's what makes Horses in the Morning so special for us, and we hope it's what makes it so special for you as well.
Yeah, I really, because of the awesome guests we have, I'd like to thank Jack Brothers and Lara Levine. They really worked pretty hard to help us get some of these guests, so we do appreciate that. You can listen, of course, to any show, and you can listen to this one again at horseradionetwork.com. You can follow us on Facebook, search for Horses in the Morning, and yeah, I'll say it. You ready for me to say it? Glenn?
Yes.
Okay, this is what I'm going to tell you. You can win a pair of Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls. We're going to draw your name, and you can win.
I'm going to record that, and we're going to play it back over and over and over again.
That's why I didn't want to say it, because I knew you'd do that. But, yeah, anyway, we'll find out if you win the balls. you can always follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you missed the live show, you can still listen on the recorded version on our website. It'll be up in about an hour after the show ends, or by noontime Eastern. Or you can listen on any of our affiliate websites or on iTunes. And you can subscribe through iTunes, get it automatically downloaded to your MP3 player every day. You have made this a fun week. Our listeners make it fun. Jamie, it has been a pleasure to do the first week with you. I have thoroughly enjoyed this.
Me too. It has just been an absolute blast, and we'll be back on Monday. Fun prizes, all that stuff, and of course, more is in the auto talk. We're going to have to break down the race, and hopefully we'll all be celebrating, drinking champagne. It has been a blast. Happy Zenyatta Day, everybody. Glenn, take us out.
Well, everybody, you have be safe tomorrow at your parties. Have a safe ride. Always wear your helmet. And we'll see you Monday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, here on Horses in the Morning.
Oh, no.
It doesn't look like it's working.
Oh, no. Let's
I'm waiting for it to play. Let me try it again. There we go. Everybody
has kicked into gear, and here she comes right on by. Zenyatta suddenly two in front. Here's the real Zen Master, and she's 1:11.
Continues to come at them stride for stride. Lethal Heat holding on to it though. Lethal Heat, another's creation. Zenyatta. And now going to come to the outside, and Mike Smith takes dead aim on the leaders and asks Zenyatta to go, and just look at her go. Zenyatta strikes the front, just playing with him here. He is going back and forth, and it's Zenyatta, Lethal Heat running on at the rail, but Zenyatta with condescendingly. Summerbird in the red cap cross as Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Conti on the inside. Summerbird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Back to my tune. Zenyatta now just looking at Udo. Zenyatta.
crazy. They're running third. They're coming home under a hand ride. It is Mike Smith and Zenyatta in a triumphant return to Oakland. She wins the Apple Blossom Invitational by 3.5. Cam second. Beat fair third.
Coming to the 16th hole, St. Trinian all out. Zenyatta trying to run her down on the money. St. Trinian still a neck and front. Zenyatta, yes!
Fox is in front. A huge run from Interval along the inside. Zenyatta now fully stretched. Interval there, but Zenyatta will keep her unbeaten record.
Here she comes. Switch is going to take over the lead from Moon to France. Zenyatta still has two lengths to make up and only a final furlong to do. She's going to have to fly again. Switch has the lead at 16.